You are listening to the Havel audio production of Tell It Slant, a conversation on the language of Jesus in his stories and prayers by Eugene H. Peterson. This book is read by Grover Gardner. This book is 274 pages long and is divided into 20 chapters. This recording was produced in 2008 by Havel Audio, which owns the copyright. No portion of this recording may be reproduced for any reason without prior written consent from Havel Audio. This edition issued by contractual arrangement with William B. Erdman's Publishing Company. Originally published by William B. Erdman's Publishing Company in English as Tell It Slant, a conversation on the language of Jesus in his stories and prayers. Copyright 2008 by Eugene H. Peterson. All rights reserved. Please visit www.christianaudio.com to offer your impressions of this work and to explore additional titles. Dedication. For my grandchildren, Andrew Eugene, Lindsay Hope, Sadie Lynn, Hans Hoyland, Anna Grace, Mary Crates. One after one, every couple of years, succeeding one another in turn as babes and infants, you reintroduce me to the mysteries of language, the miracles of speaking, the miracles of listening, and the holy conversations that develop among us in the company of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Acknowledgements. I was fortunate. I learned the language of faith at the same time I learned the English language. My language school was my family, my parents, and my sister Karen and brother Kenneth, the best of teachers and the most congenial of classmates in the school. This book had its inception in the J. Henderson Lectures, 1992, at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. It developed further in courses on language, scripture, and prayer at Regent College, Vancouver, B.C., from 1993 to 1998. It was tested out and matured in conversations with pastors at numerous retreats and conferences. A succession of spiritual directors spanning 50 years as I moved across the country kept my words fresh and honest and personal. Reuben Lance in Montana, Pastor Ian Wilson in Baltimore, Sister Constance Fitzgerald, OCD, in Baltimore, Pastor Alan Reynolds in Canada. Jonathan Stein is a faithful friend who encourages reverence in the smallest details. At about the time that I thought I knew what I needed to know and could go on to other things, my grandchildren began showing up at approximately 2-year intervals and regularly restored a sense of wonder at the miracle of language. The book is dedicated to them. Introduction. Language, given to us to glorify God, to receive the revelation of God, to witness the truth of God, to offer praise to God, is constantly at risk. Too often the living word is desiccated into propositional cadavers, then sorted into exegetical specimens in bottles of formaldehyde. We end up with God talk. Knowledge of speech, but not of silence. Knowledge of words and ignorance of the word. Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? Excerpt from Part 2 of Choruses from the Rock in Collected Poems 1909 to 1962 by T.S. Eliot. Copyright 1936 by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt Publishing Company and renewed 1964 by T.S. Eliot. Reprinted with permission of the publisher. My concern is that we use God's gift of language in consonance with the God who speaks. Jesus is the primary person with whom we have to do in this business. Jesus most of all. Jesus, the Word made flesh. Jesus who spoke and it came to be. Psalm 33, verse 9. Even since the foundation of the world. Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. Jesus telling stories on the roads and around the supper tables in Galilee and while traveling through Samaria. Jesus praying in the garden and from the cross in Jerusalem. Jesus is God's word to us in a variety of settings and circumstances. He engages in conversations with us in the language given to us in the Gospels. Those conversations are continued with us by the Holy Spirit, just as he promised. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. John chapter 16, verses 13 to 14. He is also the person who prays to his Father and ours. since he ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Language and the way we use it in the Christian community are the focus of this conversation on the spirituality of language. Language, all of it, every vowel, every consonant, is a gift of God. God uses language to create and command us. We use language to confess our sins and sing praises to God. We use this very same language getting to know one another, buying and selling, writing letters and reading books. We use the same words in talking to one another that we use when we're talking to God. Same nouns and verbs, same adverbs and adjectives, same conjunctions and interjections, same prepositions and pronouns. There is no Holy Ghost language used for matters of God and salvation, and then a separate secular language for buying cabbages and cars. Give us this day our daily bread, and pass the potatoes come out of the same language pool. There is a lot more to speaking than getting the right words and pronouncing them correctly. Who we are and the way we speak make all the difference. We can sure think of enough creative ways to use words badly. We can blaspheme and curse. We can lie and deceive. We can bully and abuse. We can gossip and debunk. Or not. Every time we open our mouths, whether in conversation with one another or in prayer to our Lord, Christian truth and community are on the line. And so, high on the agenda of the Christian community in every generation, is that we diligently develop a voice that speaks in consonance with the God who speaks. That we speak in such a way that truth is told and community is formed. And that we pray to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not to some golden calf idol that has been fashioned by one of the numerous descendants of Aaron. Preachers and teachers hold prominent positions in the Christian community in the use of language. Pulpit and lectern provide places of authority and influence in sanctuaries and classrooms that require careful, prayerful, Christ-honoring speech in every sermon and lecture. But I am particularly interested here in the more or less out-of-the-way, unstudied, and everyday conversations that take place in kitchens and family rooms, having coffee with a friend, making small talk in a parking lot, or engaging in an intense private discussion that could make or break a relationship. I want to attend to the words we listen to and speak as we go about the ordinary affairs of work and family, friends and neighbors, and provide them with an equivalent dignity alongside the language that we commonly associate with the so-called things of God. For the most part, this is not a high-profile language, not the language we use when we want to get something done or master a complex subject. It is language used when we are not dealing with one another in our social roles or our assigned functions. It savors subtleties. It relishes ambiguities. It consists, in large part, using T.S. Eliot's phrase, in hints followed by guesses. Emily Dickinson gives me my text. Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies too bright for our infirm delight. The truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind.